I want to invite you today to take your Bible or the Bible in the pew in front of you and turn to Deuteronomy 6. Turn to Deuteronomy 6. And today is a great day for some parents because they want to dedicate their children to the Lord. And I've entitled this message, Passing the Faith Along. Passing the Faith Along. There's a song about that. The Gaithers sing it. It's a great song. And today we're going to talk about passing the faith along to the next generation. And I realize that not everyone today is affected by an infant dedication. You're not all dedicating babies or children today, but I do want to spend some time in this scripture being reminded of our obligation, children of the Most High God, our obligation to pass on to the next generation the good news of Jesus. And so we're going to look at that together. And so if you've got your Bible, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I think that you know kind of the layout of the land here. I think that you know that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses just got done going over the Ten Commandments again. You know that in Exodus 20, he went over the Ten Commandments with the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. And now he's going over the Ten Commandments again with the next generation that's going into the Promised Land. And so we've got the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, and then we get to Deuteronomy 6. And here's what he says. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandsons, your children, all the days of your life. And that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of our fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so here's his opening. Here's his statement. And he starts with, now this is the commandment. Now we're going to get to verse 4 when he begins to address them again with the commandment. So here we go, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, and he could be saying to you today, hear, O people of Motley or America or wherever. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's the commandment he's talking about in verse 1 when he says in verse 1, now this is the commandment. Love the Lord with everything that you've got. And then, he says in verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Listen to what he says now in verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. These commands of God, Deuteronomy 5, Deuteronomy 6, these commands of God, he's saying to his people, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And so God is telling through Moses these people that will now go into the Promised Land. You know where their fathers are at. For 40 years they've perished in the wilderness because of disobedience. This is now the 600,000 men plus women and children that are about to go across the Jordan into the Promised Land. He said, remember these commandments. And he said, remember this command. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And he said, don't ever forget to tell your children. Verse 20, same chapter, Deuteronomy 6. Now when your son or when your children ask you in time to come saying, what is the meaning of these testimonies and these statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, to your children, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And what he's telling them to be reminded, children of Israel, that you have seen the hand of God in your lives. And he could be saying to you or to me today, excuse me a moment, but he could be saying to us, God has done great things in your life. Pass it on. Don't neglect to tell your children what God has done for you. And so he challenges them with this command to love the Lord and tell your children about him. And so as I was reading this, and I was thinking about graduating seniors and perhaps graduating from middle school or graduating from all the things they graduate from, and I'm thinking about our dedicating our babies today, I wonder, do we recognize the importance of this directive from God? I wonder if we recognize how vitally important this is from God to us to tell the next generation about Jesus. To tell the next generation about God and His commands and His love and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and all these things. I wonder if we realize how important this is. And I ask that question based on some things that we know about today. Because, you know, God has an expectation of us as parents. Maybe we're parents now, maybe we're not, maybe we're grandparents, maybe we're foster parents, maybe we're step parents, whatever it is. But God expects us to tell the next generation about Him. Now, we might think about, how well is that going? Jim, what do you think? How well is that going? Well, I'll tell you how well it's going. 80% of the people... Marie Alley is with us today. Marie is 90. 80% of her generation believes that the Word of God is true. Not just some of it, all of it. 80% of her generation says the Bible is the Word of God and it is the absolute truth. Then you get to my generation and it starts to slip. And it gets to the 70s generation, and it slips. And today's generation, from the 22 on down, there is less than 8% that say the Bible is the absolute truth. And so, as I consider these statistics, I'm asking myself, how good a job are we doing at passing our faith along? How good a job are we doing at telling these precious little packages that God has blessed us with about Jesus? Did you see there in verse 5 and 6 and actually 7 and 8? Did you see the "you shalls"? You shall. You shall do it. I told the earlier service this morning that... I've had an opportunity to work business in a couple, three different states, and I've had a chance to work with OSHA in two, and perhaps the third one, I can't remember, but two or three states. And I likened it unto this. When OSHA sends you back a reply and it says, "you shall," you shall. Believe me, you shall. God said to His people, today, yesterday, and at Moses' time, you shall tell your children about me. You shall teach them, he said, diligently. You shall train them diligently, he said. You shall talk about these things when you're in the field planting the oats or whatever you're doing, when you're in the harvest, when you're working the livestock, when you're in your homes, he says, when you're outside, you talk about them. When you're inside, you talk about them. When you lie down, you talk about them. When you get up, you talk about me. And when I start to consider the 80% of our great nation's people that believe the Word was the absolute truth, and now the generation coming along is saying it's less than 8% say it's the absolute truth, I'm wondering, how well are we doing at teaching "you shall tell your children about God"? And I will admit, I wish I would have done a much better job. I wish I'd have done much better training my children and teaching them about all of the goodness of God. But you know what? This is kind of like OSHA. This ain't optional. You shall, he said. You shall train them about me. You shall tell him what he's done for me. I don't know how many times just this last week I've had a chance to tell people about what God has done in my life. Didn't happen to be my children, friends, neighbors, whatever it was. But I've had several occasions lately to tell what God has done in my life. And you know what? If you know Christ, you got something to tell. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have got something to pass on. Because if we don't have Christ, we don't have much going for us. This is not optional stuff. When we claim the name of Jesus, when we say we are followers of the Most High God, we are commanded to tell our children, this next generation, about Him. That is a command. We're commanded to tell about His goodness, His grace, His mercy, about the way of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you know what? When you read through the Old Testament, the children of Israel decided they'd do things their own way. They didn't tell the next generation about the good things that God had done, by and large, as a nation. And eventually, you know what happened? They were carried off to Babylon in judgment because they neglected this important role to tell their children the goodness of God. And let me say this, because I know it to be true. I realize that some of you have diligently taught your children, faithfully trained them in the ways of Jesus. And sometimes we still have free will. Sometimes we don't choose to follow Jesus even if we've been taught. But your obligation and my obligation is to tell them the good news of Jesus. Our obligation is to tell them about the goodness of God. Look at what God has done for us. Look at this wonderful day He's provided for us. Look at the beauty in the birds. And look at the things. We can just tell about the goodness of God. And like I said, I'll admit, I've not done the best job at being a parent and passing it on, but I have tried to do some things. And I wish I'd have done more. But I also submit to you that Christian America, it wasn't that long ago we were claiming 86% of us were Christians. Now it's down to 76. But I still submit to you, even at 76 that claim to be Christians, we're not doing a very good job of passing along the goodness of God. We're not doing a very good job at passing along God's commands. Faith in Christ, heaven and hell. We're not doing very good at that as a nation, and I'll tell you why. Number one, if we'd been more faithful to observe the commands of God and pass along the faith to our children, I ask us, would we be wrestling with what defines marriage? If we would pass the faith along in God's command, would we be wrestling with having abortion to the tune of 50 million children? 6 million people in prisons? 50% divorce rate? Less than 50% of American society is in church this morning. And I simply ask, would we be wrestling with these if the faith would have been passed on the way God intended it to? And I don't know the answer to these questions, but I have an idea. I have an idea what the answer is. Godly parents, people that love the Lord and are committed to Him and will pass the faith along, will see fruit for the kingdom of God. Is that a guarantee? No, because we still have free will, and sometimes we, as children, make our own choices. But overall, as we pass along the goodness of God to our children, overall, they will continue to look to Him who brought us out of the bondage of sin and set us free. Let me share with you for a moment some reading I did just last week about what Barna found. American society has become more intrigued by moral issues in recent years, as evidenced by the fact that 55% of adults discuss moral issues with others during the week. In other words, quite simply, over half the people are now talking about moral issues and morality on a weekly basis. That's what they've concluded. But a nationwide survey by the Barna Group indicates that Americans have also redefined what it means to do the right thing in their own eyes. In other words, we're rewriting the books. We're redefining what's right in our own eyes. Researchers asked these adults that they polled which, if any, of 8 different behaviors with moral overtones they had engaged in during the past week. The behaviors included exposure to pornography, using profanity in public, gambling, gossiping, engaging in sex with someone other than your spouse, retaliating against someone, getting drunk and lying, and a majority, listen to me now, a majority of adults had engaged in at least one of these eight behaviors during the past week. Does that make it right? No. It's just that we're trying to redefine what is moral, and we're trying to redefine what are the absolute truths. God's word didn't change. God's word is still the same as it was when Moses handed it down. This would be 3,500 years ago. Now listen to this finding. One of the most stunning outcomes from this same Barna survey was the moral pattern among adults under 25. And let me preface this. I was under 25 too. And we sometimes have things to confess of. But here's the under 25s today. This is according to this survey. The younger generation was more than twice as likely as all other adults to engage in behaviors considered moral inappropriate. More than twice as likely to be involved and engaged in morally inappropriate. Their choices made even the baby boomers look like moral pillars in comparison. That's a scary thought. For instance, 2/3 of those under 25, this is a full 64%, had used profanity in public. You say, Jim, so what? That's exactly where that's my point. That's where we have gotten to. I heard on Christian radio just this last week of a little boy and his mom sitting in a restaurant, and the little boy is a little guy. He's 7, 8 years old. A lady comes by with her arms full of stuff. He sticks out his feet and she trips. And he laughs and he looks to his mom for positive feedback, and that's exactly what he got. Positive feedback. And we wonder sometimes, why is it okay for 64% to say profanity in public is okay? Remember the third commandment of God? You shall not misuse my name, he said. And maybe you say, well, Jim, maybe they weren't using God's name in vain. Okay, maybe they weren't. But 65% use profanity in public as norm. It goes on. The younger group, known as the Mosaics. It took me a long time to know I was a baby boomer. A long time. Matter of fact, I'm still not sure what that means. But anyway, this generation now is called Mosaics, 25 and under. Anybody know that? Yeah, you're like me. I didn't either. But anyway, this younger group, known as Mosaics, were 9 times more likely than were boomers to have engaged in sex outside of marriage, 40%. 6 times more likely to have lied, 40%. 3 times more likely to have gotten drunk, 25%, and to have gossiped, 26%, and twice as likely as boomers to have observed pornography, nearly 40%. And have engaged in acts of retaliation in the last few days. And I asked myself, Jim, Church of God, followers of Christ, how you doing at passing along God's standard? These behaviors are okay today in society, which with much of the next generation call the Mosaics. And I ask myself why. And I'm not here to blame them, not at all. I'm here to help us understand when God commanded, you shall teach them diligently about me. I ask myself, how are we doing? How are we doing in that category? I'm not blaming the under 25s today. But the behavior shows that somebody, myself is in that somebody, haven't done all we could to train up our children in the way that we should go, the way that they should go. If we had, I think the behavior would reflect differently. Remember what it says in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 5? It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long." You remember that, Ephesians? You might have even used that on your kids once in a while. I think I might have tried a time or two myself. Verse 4, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Do you hear what he's saying there? Do you hear what Paul is saying to this church at Ephesus? I like the message. It says this, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down on them hard. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master." That's what he's saying, parents. Take your children by the hand and lead them by the way of the Master. And I ask myself the question, have we, the parents, given our children the instruction, the direction, the commands of God so that they will respond, or at least given them the chance to respond? I'm thinking verse 4 is fairly clear here. I'm thinking fairly clear here when it says, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them, but take them by the hand and lead them to the way of the Master. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the good news. Tell them about God's commands. Talk to them about holy living." You say, "Jim, what's that? We don't live in a holy time." God didn't change. His word didn't change. And he expects me, as a follower of Christ that claims the name of Jesus, to live holy. H-O-L-Y, not W-H-O-L-Y, H-O-L-Y. He expects me that claims the name of Jesus to live holy lives. "Teach your children about that, Jim," he said. "Teach your grandchildren about that, Jim," he says. Please forgive me, I'm not belittling your raising of children today, but I am saying that if we claim the name of Jesus, we have an obligation to tell them about Him. The good news about Jesus. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Why? Because he has walked in his integrity. Psalm 127, 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." What a blessing! We're going to see baby Clara and Caden and maybe others that I'm not even aware of that are going to come and dedicate these babies. The Bible says they're a reward. The fruit of the womb. Praise God for these little rewards. Excuse me. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I love children. I love children. I love mine. I love my grandchildren and I love yours. Jesus loves little children. And God has simply asked us, parents, will you tell them about me? God has simply asked us, will you tell them, will you instruct them, will you help their fragile little thinking to know about me? Will you help them with that, he's saying. Will you bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord? That's all he asks of us. And if we don't sit up, I've come to this conclusion, if we don't sit up and take some notice about what God has instructed of us, the parents, the grandparents, the step-parents, whatever we are to them, if we don't sit up and take notice about how important this is to tell them, to teach them, to train them about the things of God now, what will the generation beyond the mosaics look like? We have gone from 80% in America that believes this is the Word of God, it's true, to 8. What will the next generation look like if we don't tell them? If we don't instruct them about Jesus? And you know what? Let me conclude with this before I invite some of you forward. Our actions speak a lot louder than our words. You know what? If I'm sitting at home and I tell Sherry, "Go ahead and pack up them kids, get on to church," and I'm sitting there reading the paper or going fishing, or I like to fish, I like to read the paper, or watching the Vikings game or whatever it is, but You see, they see my example. And if dad is sitting there, or sometimes maybe mom and dad, and say, you guys go ahead and get on to church, what am I really saying to them? It's not that important to me. And I'm, forgive me, I'm not picking on somebody that doesn't go to church, but they learn by our example. They learn by our example. And it's not going to work for me to sit at home with my feet up and say to wifey and children, go ahead and head her on into church, it's good for you, and sit there and not go. They learn from our example. If my children never see me read the wonderful Word of God, are they going to find it important? Probably not. If my children never see me in prayer before God, is it going to be important to them? Probably not. They learn from our actions. Yes, we're to train them. Yes, we're to tell them. But dear friends, with these little precious babies today and grandbabies, they learn from your actions. They learn from your love of Jesus. Is it real or is it skin deep? They know. We're not fooling them. They know. If my actions say one thing and my words say another, they know that. We ain't fooling them. Tell them about Jesus. Once in a while, you know the reverse is too. Sometimes it's the kids telling the parents about Jesus. Sometimes it's the kids saying, Mommy and Daddy, guess what I learned in Sunday school? Jesus loves you. That's all right as long as they know about Jesus. But our instruction from God is parents and grandparents, tell your children about Jesus. Now as you, the parents and grandparents, surrender your life completely to Him, your obligation is to tell the next generation about Jesus. Maybe you're here today and maybe you didn't have a chance to hear from Mommy and Daddy that Jesus loves you. And He doesn't care if you're 88 years old or 8 days old. Jesus loves you. God sent His Son Jesus to die for us because He loves you. And maybe you knew that and maybe you didn't. Maybe Mom and Dad had a chance to tell you that, maybe they didn't. But Jesus loves you. He died for you. And He wants to come into your life and into your heart and live within you. Yes, the Creator of the whole universe wants to live in your heart. And so please know this today. Jesus loves you. God loves you with a tremendous love, a love you'll never know. And even if you're an adult today, if you haven't heard that, know it's true. He loves you. And He wants to live in your life today. And all you got to say is, if you've never done it, Jesus, come into my life and take control. Take over. Let's pray together. Gracious and eternal God, thank You again for the awesome privilege to be part of this body of friends and family and believers in Christ and neighbors, all of us that are here together worshiping You. We just praise You. We praise You for Your goodness. We praise You for Your grace. We praise You for families. We praise You for babies. We praise You for graduates. We praise You for those years in between, even when they try us. We praise You, Father, for families. We praise You for the church family. We praise You, God, because You love us. You love us. Despite of what I used to be or who we are today, You love us. Father God, if You're calling out names today, people maybe never realize You love me. And I want to know You personally. Father, I just pray that they might surrender to You today by saying, Father, forgive me. I've done things my own way. And I want Jesus in my life today. I want Jesus in my soul today. I want Jesus because heaven and hell depend upon it. And so, Father, if You're talking to somebody today, I pray that they would just simply acknowledge You as God, as Savior, as their Lord, invite You into their life today. Thank You, Father, for the awesome privilege it is to be Your children. Bless these people here today. Bless them all, Father. Some are parents today, maybe some are not. Some are grandpas and grandmas, maybe some are not. But bless them, Father, as we walk with You, as we walk this pathway of life. Father, walk with them today and draw them close to Yourself. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.